Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Amen, amen. As you're having a seat, get your Bibles and open your Bibles to Galatians, the sixth chapter. We've been in a series we just started last week called Successfully Sowing. This is part number two of Successfully Sowing. Now, if you missed part number one, I would encourage you to go online and listen and get caught up right where we're at. Now, don't worry, today's message will stand on its own. We will review briefly, but in order to get the fullness of last week's message, I would encourage you to go online and take a listen and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you through that message. You know, growing up, my family and I, especially during the summers, my dad would go to work, but my brother and I were home, and my mom would always like to play board games with us. Any board game people in the place? Anybody like the board games, all right? Any people not board game people? You're like, I hate board games, all right? Okay, I see those hands. I could be on both sides. Sometimes I love it, sometimes I hate it. But we used to play a game called Monopoly. You all know Monopoly, right? Probably the most famous of the board games, and it helped us. It taught us math. It taught us about money and finances and that sort of a thing at a young age. And so we would enjoy playing. Now, Monopoly is not a game, especially when you've got little kids, that goes fast. You know what I mean? It was like one of those all-day adventures that we would just be going throughout the day and playing from morning all the way until night. And I remember you would roll the dice, and there were certain spaces that you could land that you had to pull a card. They were chance and community chest. And I remember there was one card in particular that I loved getting because it said, your investment has paid off, collect, and then it had a certain dollar amount on it. Now, here's the problem, though, is that I understood things as I grew older. I never invested anything. All I did was roll the dice, and because of the luck of the draw, I got a card that said your investment had paid off, but I made no investment. What I did make an investment in was oftentimes two spaces. How many of you know the two spaces you want to invest in on Monopoly? What are they called? Park Place and Boardwalk. Come on, somebody. You know that blue space. You wanted to get that one. You wanted to be the first one to land on it because you were going to spend everything you owned on that spot, even if you had to bankrupt yourself with it and just empty all your savings. Why? Because that was the place where you could get the most return. But I was always frustrated when I would own both Park Place and Boardwalk when my brother would roll the dice or my mom would roll the dice and they'd go just skating right past, going through Go, collecting $200. Come on, somebody. You're like, why did I invest all that money for you to just pass it right by? Or sometimes they'd get the luck of the roll, and they would land right in the middle of your two properties. Now, I think they had to pay some income tax or some luxury tax there, but it was like $75. It wasn't the $500 I'm charging for that hotel. What if I told you that there are investments that you can make that God will bless and that God will bring increase into your life? That it's not just a rolling of the dice or the luck of the draw that you can actually receive from the places that you invest. Last time we were together, we read Galatians chapter number 6, and we started out in verse number 7, and it says this, do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever, everybody say whatever. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And you remember we said this, that we need to sow financially God's way, showing honor to God with what we have. We talked about something called the tithe. Tithe simply means a tenth, not a ninth, not an eighth, not a 25th, right? That would be a quarter. A tithe is a tenth. And when we bring that tenth to God, that first portion, we pass the test of our heart that says, God, you're first in my life. And when we do that, God will bless what is left over. And so we have to sow financially because sowing financially into God shows honor to God. And that's really what this is all about, is our heart. And what we sow is important. It's important for us to sow financially because we want to reap financially. If you sow nothing, you will reap nothing and you will reap it in abundance. But then Galatians chapter 6, verse number 8 comes along and it says this, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now, I want to just point out the context of Galatians chapter 6 in that Galatians chapter 6 comes after Galatians chapter number 5. I know this is deep stuff. I know this is the deep things of God right now. I know this is very hard to understand. Pastor, why are you telling me this? This is so simple. This is so silly. Why would you say that? Here's the reason why. Because the Apostle Paul has just been talking to them about life. Life in the Spirit versus life in the flesh. He says that if you live your life, and he uses the term walk in, if you're walking in the flesh, then things are going to be produced out of your flesh, things that you don't want. You can see the laundry list of dirty deeds that come when you're walking in the flesh, there in Galatians chapter 5. But then he says you can also choose to walk in the Spirit, and when you walk in the Spirit, there's going to be a product or a fruit of the Spirit. And now here he starts talking about sowing financially to the people that teach you. And he says, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow financially, you're going to reap financially. But then he says that what you sow is important, but then he changes his tune a little bit, and he says, if you sow to the flesh, of the flesh you're going to reap corruption, but if you sow to the Spirit, from the Spirit you're going to reap eternal life. That shows me something, that where you sow is important. Notice he gives you options, and he says, you can sow to the flesh, that's a place, or you can sow to the Spirit, that's also a place. And the broader understanding, see, there's one interpretation, but many applications of the Word of God. And therefore, when we see this, we can understand that there are places that I can sow that are good and places that I can sow that are not good. Investments that I can make that I'll find a return, and investments that I'll make that I'll find a loss. Where you sow is important. That means that we need to sow where we want to reap from. Sow where you want to reap from, because where you sow is important. Y'all tracking? You got a little bit quiet on me, okay? But you got to holler back, because the quieter you get, the longer I preach. And I don't want to preach in La Roca today, okay? Where you sow is important. So sow where you want to reap from. There was a couple of Army recruits. I thought Memorial Day weekend, we might as well tell an Army joke this weekend. So a couple of Army recruits go into basic training. They're there in basic training, and they come in, and they go into the cafeteria. And there they see this little guy, real short guy. He's the cook going into the kitchen. And so they said, hey, let's play a joke on that guy. Next morning, they get up real early, and they go, and they take Vaseline, and they put it on the door, right there on the handle. Cook comes in, they're hiding in the corner, and here he comes in, and he tries to open the door. He can't do it. Vaseline's on the door. Realizes he's got Vaseline all over his hand. Oh, man, he's wiping it off, right? Goes and gets a towel, a rag, cleans it off, and finally he can open the door. They're over there snickering in the corner. He looks over his shoulder at them, sees them snickering in the corner, and just shakes his head and walks in and goes to cooking breakfast that morning. Next morning, they get up, and they say, hey, what are we going to do today? So they go in real early, and they go and they get all of the plastic wrap, right? And they plastic wrap the door, just a real thin layer plastic wrap over the door. So now the cook comes in. He looks at the door handle. There's no Vaseline on the door handle, so he grabs it, and he starts walking, and bang, he hits the plastic wrap. They're over there, and now this time they're laughing audibly. Look at, he just ran into the plastic wrap. He looks over his shoulder at him again, just shakes his head, tears through the plastic wrap, goes in and starts cooking breakfast again. Third day comes along. What are we going to do? I got an idea. Let's get a bucket of water. We're going to tilt it up there on the top of the door, and this time he's going to get soaking wet. So they go and they hide again. Now this time the cook comes in. He looks at the door handle. No Vaseline. Looks and puts his hand through to see. No plastic wrap. Thinks he's in the clear. Opens the door. The bucket of water comes crashing down on him. He's soaked head to toe. This time the guys are rolling on the floor laughing. They're pointing. They're laughing. And the cook just looks over his shoulder again, shakes his head, and just walks in and goes to cooking breakfast. Now they feel bad, because 3 days, they've given him such a hard time, and he hasn't retaliated, he hasn't cussed at him, he hasn't turned him in, and they think, well, maybe he's really a good guy, like, we're giving him a hard time for no reason, we got to stop. And so they agree, and they go into the kitchen there, and they say, hey, cook, we just wanted to say we're so sorry, we apologize, you know, we didn't mean anything by it, we just were having some fun, and we're not going to do that stuff to you anymore. And the cook looks at him with a bit of a raised eyebrow, and he says, so you mean no more Vaseline? They said, no more Vaseline. He said, no more plastic wrap? No more plastic wrap. No more buckets of water on the door? No more buckets of water on the door. He says, good, then no more spit in the food. See, where you sow is important. It's a simple statement, but it's also a powerful one. If you want to reap a good marriage, then you got to sow into your marriage. If you want to reap in your friendship, then you got to sow into your friendships. If you want to see fruit in your children, then sow into your children. And if you want to see financial increase, you have to sow financially into the right places. And in order to reap the blessing of God, you have to sow in obedience where God tells you to sow. I want to show this to you in the scriptures, because I think all of us in this place want the blessing of God. If you don't, then you don't understand the blessing. Malachi chapter number 3, turn there with me. Malachi chapter number 3, probably the quintessential verse for what we're talking about. We talked about this last week. Anytime somebody teaches on tithing, most of the time you'll find that they take you to Malachi, the 3rd chapter. Malachi chapter number 3, God is speaking to the children of Israel. We talked about honor from this section of scripture last time we were together. But I want to point out to you what he says about where to sow. Verse number 10 of Malachi, the 3rd chapter, says this: bring all the tithes, that 10%, where? Into the what? Okay, most of you guys got that. Let's try that with everybody this time. Into the what? Into the storehouse. That there may be food in what? My house. Notice my house, that word my is capitalized. anytime you see him or he or that sort of thing, my, and it's capitalized, that's talking about God. Now, if it's God's house, what does the New Testament define as God's house? The church. Is that right? He says, with the house of God, which is the church of the living God. 1 Timothy tells us, right? So he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. The storehouse is the place where food was stored. It was the place that you could go and you could get fed from. This was a place that was feeding the people. So he says, bring the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Now, I want to point out something to you. Because in this day and age, the temple of God was the house of God. And as they brought their tithes and their offerings, the priests and the Levites, that was the clan, the tribe of Judah, I'm sorry, the tribe of Levi, that was ministering there at the temple. And they lived off of those sacrifices while they were working there in the temple. They had fields and things, but they would have to go for months at a time, and they would rotate through, and they would serve their portion. And while they were there, the people would bring their tithes of grain. They would bring their flocks. They would bring their sacrifices. And if it wasn't a burnt sacrifice, there was a portion that was given to the people, but there was also a portion that was given to the priests. So when there was grain in the house of God, the work of the ministry continued. It's no different today. You bring your tithes, you bring your offerings here into the house of God. We pay employees, we pay for the lights, we pay for the air conditioning. We have a beautiful church service that's going on. We've got all this stuff that takes place here in the house of God from what you bring. If people aren't bringing, we're not going to be able to do what we do. And that's why it's important that we understand this. Now, lest we think that this is all for God and only for the church people, only for the workers of the church, I want you to notice that it doesn't stop right there. It's not just that there may be food in my house and nothing else. What does God go on to say? He says, and try me now on this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for who? Hold on. God didn't say open for me. God didn't say open for the angels. God didn't even say open for the house. He says, if I will not open for you. Who? The people that are bringing their tithes into the storehouse. God says, I'm going to do something for you. When you sow into the house of God, you're going to reap from the house of God. What? The blessing that comes. If I want to open for you the windows of heaven. Now, many times when you see the windows of heaven opening up, that's talking about rain. Because wherever there was water, there was life. Think about a desert environment. You know, we've got Death Valley here in California. Death Valley doesn't get a lot of water. But when there is a lot of water in Death Valley, what happens? They have a super bloom. Why? Because there's seed in the ground, and where there's water, it produces life. So what's God saying? He says, I'm going to open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Notice he says, your life is going to be blessed, and I'm going to cause things to sprout up. The investments that you make outside of the house of God will now receive the blessing of God, and life will be produced from that blessing. But again, he doesn't stop there. Verse number 11 says, and, in other words, because of what I just said, I want to tie this to this, not only that, but also this, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. What's the devourer? Well, again, think in farming terms. If you had fields and you had something devouring your fields, most of the time that's a bug, isn't it? The Bible talks about the chewing locust and the gnawing locust and the consuming locust. There's these little things that eat up the crop, the harvest. You know what the devourer is in your life, don't you? It might look like this. We got to put tires on this car already? Hey, the roof is leaking. What's causing that? It's summertime. Why is there water coming through? Oh, no, the air conditioning went out. Oh, man, devouring finances. How about this one? I just bought you shoes. You already outgrew them? What is going on, kid? Your shirt looks like a crop top. That's not good for boys. We need to buy this kid some new clothes. What does it look like? How much was groceries this month? How much was the water bill this month? Man, everything is costing more these days. I can't afford that. See, the devourer, it just eats away at your finances. It eats away at your harvest. God says, if you will bring the tithe into the storehouse of God, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing on you, so much so that you can't contain it. But not only that, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes so that he will not destroy what? The fruit of whose ground? Your ground. That means the investments that you make outside of the house of God, God is going to protect those investments so that the devourer doesn't eat away at your finances. All because you sowed where? Into the right place. But he doesn't stop again. He keeps going. He says, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. You know, when you see the vine, it speaks of grape juice, it speaks of wine, it speaks of celebration, it speaks of joy and happiness. In other words, when your crops are being devoured, you're not happy. But when you've got a field that's protected by God, when there's rain on your investments and there's life happening, guess what? There is joy and there is happiness that comes with any happy tithers in the place. Come on, just wave at me right now. Any happy tithers? Look at this. All over the place, all over the place. Why? Because we understand that where you sow is important. And it's important for us that if you want the blessing of God, that you bring the tithe into the storehouse of God so that God can bless what's outside of the house of God. This is the place. See, sometimes people say, Pastor, well, I tithe to my Christian school. My kids go to a Christian school, so I tithe there. No, that's called tuition. That is not a tithe. And anything you give to the school over and above that tuition is an offering. That's okay if your kids are enjoying their Christian school. Hey, I would encourage that. If they're getting blessed, hey, sow into that school. That's a great place to sow. That's not the tithe. Because God said the tithe belongs in my house. See, you're not getting fed from that Christian school. You know, if your kid's in the hospital, is a Christian school coming? Maybe they'll come. Maybe they'll show up. Maybe a teacher would come, right? But you know who is going to come? If you call the church, your kid's in the hospital, we're coming. We're sending a pastor. We're sending one of our chaplains. We're sending somebody to go and to pray the prayer of faith. How about this? If your marriage is falling apart, is a Christian school going to sit down with you and open the Bible with you and talk to you about marriage? Probably not. They might have showed up for the kid in the hospital, but they're definitely not going to be talking about your marriage. But you know who is? Your church. That's why membership here at The Rock Church is important, because we take care of our members first and we say, hey, we know these guys. They're members here. They're involved here. They're serving here. Their marriage is having a hard time. Come and sit down with us. Let's open the Bible. Let's talk about what's going on. Let's get some action steps in your life that will help you in your marriage and in your life. Well, Pastor, I give my tithe to the televangelist or the podcaster. You know, I'm getting a lot out of their teaching, and so I'm getting spiritually fed from them. You talk about the storehouse. I'm getting spiritually fed from them. That's great. Are they showing up to the hospital? No. No, they're not. Are they walking you through those marital problems? They might talk about marriage on their podcast, but they're not going to sit down with you. They don't know your name. They're not going to cry with you when your parents go to be with the Lord. They're not going to be there to host the funeral services. That's what happens at your church. See, this is the place where you're spiritually getting fed from. Now, you can sow an offering into them. That's fine. Over and above your tithe. See, the blessing of God will be on your finances when you tithe. So much so that if you want to sow an offering into a place where you're encouraging and getting encouragement from, that's great. I've had other people say, Pastor, I have an account that I put 10% of my income to, and then when I see a need in somebody's life, I give it to them, and that's my tithe. I see a homeless person, I give to them. You know, my neighbor, they're having a hard time financially, I give to them. And that's my tithe. No, listen, that is not your tithe. That's called almsgiving. It's called generosity. I would encourage you to do that too. Here's the reason why. The Bible says, he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord himself will repay. But you don't do that with the tithe. The tithe belongs to God. And God says, bring it into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. That belongs to the church. And then when you're crops, your fields are blessed, and God pours out a blessing so much so that you can't contain it. How many of you know when the cup runneth over, the table gets blessed, right? See, that's what God is talking about. You will have enough for almsgiving and tuition and generosity and encouragement and all the things that you want to do. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that God wants to abundantly supply you for every good work. You can't do that without the blessing of God. That's why it's so important where you sow. You can sow your tithe into the house of God. You can sow offerings in other places. You can sow almsgivings. How about this? You can sow into financial investments. Do you know that God wants you to be financially savvy and aware? He wants you to work your fields. He wants you to prosper, but you have to sow into investments. See, environments matter. Environments matter. Good soil is always where you want to sow. This church was built on a former rendering plant site. In the ground, there was a lot of chemicals. We found that out when we did site surveys and that sort of thing. A lot of formaldehyde in the ground. If you've ever been walking the grounds, it's beautiful. I mean, this campus is gorgeous when you look out there in the courtyard. But you might have walked by a place on our property and thought, why don't they plant something here? Gosh, that's really ugly and there's just dirt there. Probably the reason why is because we did plant something there, but there was so much chemicals in the ground that it died and it never grew anything. And so understand that there is bad soil to sow into, but also if you walked out into that courtyard and you looked at those palms and they were heavy with dates, when we planted those palms, they were dateless palms. Because we didn't want to have to deal with cutting all those dates off and having all those things fall and all that kind of stuff. We bought dateless palms, but the ground out there is so fertile that now we have palms producing dates. See, there's good ground that you can sow into, and then there's ground that's not good to sow into. Jesus talked about this in Luke, book of Luke, chapter number 8. Turn there with me, Luke chapter number 8. Now again, there's one interpretation but many applications. The interpretation of the scripture, Jesus gives it himself. He's talking about sowing the word of God, and he's talking about different types of hearts that the seed is scattered into. But again, the application, when we take a look at our financial sowing, I want to show you this about good ground and bad ground. Look at what it says in Luke chapter 8, and we're going to start in verse number 5 and read down through verse number 8. Jesus is speaking, he says this, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Can I ask you a question? Is that good ground? No. Why? Because it didn't produce anything. It was trampled and the birds devoured it. Verse 6, some fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprang up, oh, look at this good ground, something sprang up. As soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Once again, is that good ground? No. No. Verse number 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it. Oh, something's happening. Look, it's growing. But they choked it. Is that good ground?
No.
Now, you could cultivate that ground so it would be good ground if you remove the thorns. You could cultivate the stony ground if you remove those rocks. But look, at there's another type of ground, verse number 8, but others fell on good ground. Everybody say good ground. Sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. That means that they sowed one seed and they got 100 seeds back. How many of you, if you sowed $1, would want to get $100 back? I mean, that's a good financial investment, right? 100-fold return. Jesus says this, when he had said these things, he cried, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Where is the good ground that you can sow into? See, there are environments that are going to be good ground to sow into. The Rock Church and World Outreach Center, we've always said this, just look around. This is good ground. We're busing people to church, supporting missionaries. They're sitting right here on the front row, testify to the goodness of God all over the world, that God is moving and God is doing great things. We just had a missions team come back. They're here to testify the goodness of God. We're promoting this gospel in the streets. Just yesterday, we were in Riverside, downtown, preaching the gospel. Man, I tell you, this is good ground. Reaching out, giving food. Just yesterday morning, we had our food distribution service right here on campus, giving out food to hundreds of people that come, representing thousands of people and family members. Every year giving away tens of millions of pounds of food. This is good ground when you see what's going on. Dozens and dozens of people, every church service getting saved. It's an amazing place. This is good ground. Where else is good ground? God's house is good ground. Your marriage is good ground. Now, it may not look like it right now, but you know, the Bible says that marriage is a God institution. It's not an institution of man. And that God blessed them, and that God made them one together. See, if God says this thing is blessed, if God says this thing is holy, that is a good place to sow into, because when you are linked up together and you don't sow into that ground, guess what's going to happen? Thorns and thistles, bitterness, desire for other things, deceit, and things are going to come in. Your marriage is good ground. Your children are good ground. You might say, Pastor, I'm reaping what I sowed into my parents. Those kids are not good ground. You ever felt like that? Man, they grew up like me. Knock it off, kids. But see, that's why you got to sow into them. They're good ground. You got to cultivate that soil. You got to help them to learn as they grow. And yes, they're going to make mistakes, but ultimately, whatever you sow into them, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. You got to make the investment now, because those kids are good ground. They're a gift from God, the Bible says, that they're an inheritance where? From the Lord. They're good ground to sow into. There are people who you can sow into. People can be good ground. Now, not everybody's going to be good ground. There's going to be relationships that you can sow into, and they're going to produce, but then there's going to be other relationships you're going to sow into, and they're not going to produce. What did Jesus say? He said, don't cast your pearls before swine, nor that which is holy to the dogs, lest they trample it underfoot and then turn and tear you into pieces. What does that mean? That means you might be trying to minister to somebody, and they don't have ears to hear. They're not going to hear it. They're not going to receive it. They're going to be bad ground. Jesus said, move on and find somebody who is good ground. May not be the time. May not be the season. They might need more cultivation. But for now, go and sow your seed into someone who's going to listen, someone who you can invest time and energy into that will produce the right fruit. But remember, this is a finance series. And in your finances, there are good financial investments to sow into and others that aren't so good. Think about what Jesus said in the parable of the talents. He had three guys, right? Three guys. One of them he gave a bunch to. One of them he gave a medium-sized amount to. One of them he gave a little to. One of those guys went out and he bought and sold, traded, went and made deals happen. What happened? He doubled the money. Second guy looked at the first guy and said, I like that. I'm going to go do that, and did the same thing. Third guy buries the money in the ground. Now, stop right there for a second. Think about this. Where do you put seed? In the ground. He buried the seed money that was given to him in the ground. And when the master came for an account, he took that money out of the ground and he gave it back to him in the same measure. There was no increase. Who sows a seed and doesn't expect increase? Even the master expected an increase. But when he got back that which was his, he called him wicked and he called him lazy and he told him, there's another ground that you could have sown that financial seed into. That was bad ground you sowed it into. You should have at least put it in the good ground of the bank where I could have got back my money with interest. See, some of you guys might be looking at your bank account right now. You're not making any interest on your investment, not making any interest on your account. Might as well at least find a savings account that will give you interest at the end of the year, something that can accrue over time. What about things like, should I invest in other areas? Absolutely. Real estate, by and large, is a great investment. I know the market goes up and the market goes down, that sort of a thing. But if you bought a house 20 years ago, and then you looked at the value of that house today, hello, it's going to be different. My wife and I have prospered because of financial investments that we put into real estate. We've been able to pay for college tuition. We've been able to pay off cars. We've been able to prosper it with equity. Yes, we were upside down on certain houses, but it was still a blessing because we had equity in those houses. And even though we sold it for less than what we bought it for, guess what happened? There was equity that came in, and we were able to receive from that and be able to do some things that we needed to do financially in the future. Real estate can be a solid investment, but you got to work it. You got to watch over it. It can gradually increase over time. Whereas if you're putting your money into vehicles, you know the moment you drive a vehicle off the lot, you've just lost thousands and thousands of dollars on that investment. That's why my wife and I have chosen for our personal cars. Now listen, there may be business advantages, there may be tax advantages, but we've chosen to buy used because we say, well, why not just get the thousands of dollars off first and maybe, you know, 30,000 miles, 40,000 miles, we'll buy used, spend less on it, and that way we don't take a bath on that investment right away when we drive it off the lot. Certain stocks, certain bonds, CDs, IRAs, how about this one? Roth IRAs. How many of Roth is the will of God? Come on, somebody. I'm playing. There are tax advantages, though. Look it up. It's a good investment. Things that you can think about, okay? Even cryptocurrency, that's a new one that a lot of people are getting interested in. Why not try it? Why not use it? People today, well, aren't you gambling if you play the stock market? Aren't you gambling if you do cryptocurrency? Well, listen, it can seem like a gamble because the market can go up and down. But if you took your money to a casino and you gambled, how many of you, the house always wins? The odds are stacked against you. You play the lotto, you might as well go outside and try and get struck by lightning because you have a better chance of getting struck by lightning than you do of winning the lotto. And by the way, look at the people who won the lotto's lives after they won. Most of them, not all, most of them don't make it afterwards because many people can handle devastation and lack. Not many people can handle abundance and prosperity. And so that's why God says to build up wealth over time. See, you got to do your homework and you got to invest. Listen to this, as God leads you. As God leads you and with sound wisdom and financial advice. It's good to get advisors in your life. It's good to read blog posts. It's good to look at markets. It's good to study those things as you invest. Why? Because if you're bringing your tithe into the storehouse, then with your investments outside of the storehouse, God now has something to work with, something to bless, something to protect from the devourer, and some joy and happiness to bring into your life. So we got to find the good ground to sow into. I want to show this to you from the Word of God. I know I've probably bored some of you to death with this. Some of you guys turned off because you're not investors. You're not into finances. You're just working and living your life and just leave me alone, Pastor. But listen, I want the best for your life. I wouldn't be teaching a finance series if I didn't want you to prosper. But God, in His Word, gives us sound biblical wisdom and advice, even in the area of our finances. Let me show this to you. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse number 1 through verse number 6. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. If you don't have that translation, you can follow along in the overheads or follow along whatever translation you have. It says this, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Now, listen, this is Solomon speaking. Okay, Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes. Solomon, up until this time, was the wisest man that had ever lived because the Spirit of God gave him wisdom like no one else. But did you know that today you can be wiser than Solomon? Why? Because one greater than Solomon has come. His name is Jesus, who is God in the flesh, and God is wiser than all man. Even the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. And that same spirit that lived in Christ now lives in you. You can be wiser than Solomon because you have the wisdom of God on the inside of you. But let's look at what Solomon had to say. Ecclesiastes 11:1, send your grain across the seas, and in time, profits will flow back to you. Notice, he says, sow a seed. Sow it out there into the markets. Send it out into the world, and guess what? Profit will come back to you. Verse 2, but divide your investments among many places, for you do not know what risks might lie ahead. Now, if you've ever gone and sat with a financial advisor or read a blog or a, you know, article on finance, what did they tell you to do? Diversify. Have some real estate, have some CDs, have some stocks, have some long-term bonds, right? Crypto. They say diversify. Why? Because you don't know what the markets are going to do. One of those areas might be good ground to sow into. One of them might not be. But be wise enough to watch it and to understand. So he says, divide your investments among many places, for you do not know what risk might lie ahead. Verse 3, when clouds are heavy, the rains come down. Now, many times we read that and we say, well, duh. Of course, when clouds are heavy, rain comes down. But what is he talking about? He's talking about financial investments. And when you sow a seed, how many of you want water for the seed? Right? So he says, when clouds are heavy, in other words, watch the markets. Pay attention where you're sowing your seed. It's vitally important that we sow into good places. And so he says, when clouds are heavy, the rain comes down. Whether a tree falls north or south, it stays where it falls. What does that mean? Certain things are going to happen. Things will stop. Things will die. Let it lie where it is. Don't give it more attention than it needs. Verse 4, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. Some of you guys, I'm just waiting for the market to turn. I'm just waiting for the right time to invest. Can I tell you something? Do it now. Start somewhere. Start small. Don't go out there trying to make millions on the stock market or anything like that. Start with what God directs you. Start with something little. And invest over time, and God will build that up so that when the right time comes, when conditions are better, guess what? You will have something to sow because you have already been working, and God will have already been prospering you. But if you wait for perfect weather, you're never going to sow. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. In other words, I'm afraid of taking a bath. I'm afraid of getting wet. Hey, get out there and get to work. Go do what God has told you to do. Verse number 5, just as you cannot understand the path of the wind nor the mystery of a tiny baby growing in its mother's womb, so you cannot understand the activity of God. Look at this. Understand this. Who does all things. Remember we said that if you bring your tithe into the storehouse, God's going to open the windows of heaven and pour out a... You may not understand where the wind is blowing. You might not know that God is moving some clouds around to rain into water on your investment. It may look dry out there right now. It might not look like perfect conditions, but if God is leading you to invest financially somewhere, if God says, bring your tithe, but then if God says, hey, here's an open investment, here's a place to work, here's something to put your hand to, guess what? If you will sow, if you will invest, then God is moving and working behind the scenes on your behalf. Verse 6, I love verse 6. Plant your seed in the morning and keep busy all afternoon, for you don't know if profit will come from one activity or another. Which one's good ground? I don't know. So he says, hey, sow in the morning and sow in the evening, or I like this part, or maybe both. Y'all remember that movie Radio? What kind of pie do you want? He said both, right? Come on, anybody want both in this place? That's what I'm talking about. Some of you guys didn't clap, you don't know what I'm talking about, that's okay. Let me just rapid fire some thoughts from these scriptures that God gave me as I was meditating on them and dwelling on them. Diversify your investments. Don't quit your day job until your other investments can become your day job. You might take a bath on some of your investments. That's okay. Some investments need time and attention, watering, weeding. Others are dead and not going anywhere. Leave them alone. Ultimately, when you have God working with your finances, you won't always understand what he's doing, but he will make it work. Can anybody say amen to that? There was a farmer that knew he was going to die, and on his deathbed, he called his sons to him. He told his sons, I'm dividing my land equally between you. And I've got some money in the bank that upon my death, the will is going to be enacted, and you guys will get that money. But I stored up some money that I buried somewhere on the property, and I need you guys to go and get it. The problem is I don't remember where I buried it. And so after my death, you need to go out there and you need to dig up the property. It's about 18 inches beneath the surface of the ground. Just go out there and just dig up all the property and find it. It's a lot of money. They said, okay, Dad, we'll do that. Soon after that, the dad passed. Property was divided. Money was divided between the sons, and the sons went to work. They went out there and they started to dig up their fields, each of them, individually. They agreed that whoever found the money, that they would divide it between the three of them. And so they worked the fields, turned over all the dirt, 18 inches down, went and just dug up, didn't find it anywhere. They came back together at the end of that, and they said, what's going on? Dad said he buried some money here, and we didn't find a thing. They're scratching their heads, and they're thinking about it, and they thought, well, you know what? The fields are turned over. We might as well sow a crop, because, you know, summer's coming, and we're going to get a harvest in the fall. And so they sowed their seed, got a great crop. Harvest time came. They harvested all the grain that came through that and made a good profit off of it. Came back together afterwards. They said, hey, now that the harvest has been brought in, we can go back to work looking for this money the dad buried. So they said, let's dig a little deeper this time. Let's go see. Maybe it wasn't 18 inches. Maybe it was 2 feet or something like that. Let's just go and just give it one more pass. It's worth doing. So they go back. They go out there and they start digging. Each of them dug up their properties equally. Each of them went to work. This time they dug more. Wouldn't you know it, they came back together at the end of that and they said, did you find anything? No. Did you? No, I didn't find a thing. Man, they were discouraged. Then they thought, hey, well, there's a winter crop that we could sow now that the land has been worked and been dug up again. And so they sowed a winter seed. This time they got a bumper crop. Man, they prospered. They got a lot of money for that winter crop that they brought in. It was only then that they realized what their dad was saying. Because whatever you sow, you will reap from. And there's good ground that you can sow from, and where you sow is important. So you got to sow where you want to reap from. And remember that environments matter, so find the good ground to sow into. Come on, did you guys get something from the word of the Lord today? I'm going to ask no one to get up, no one leave during this time. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment and close your eyes and just allow the Spirit of God to speak to you this moment. Say, God, what are you speaking to me? And then listen for his voice. Maybe today God has given you a financial strategy. He might be showing you some good ground. Make sure to write it down. You want to give attention to that. Maybe you're here with your spouse or a faithful friend and God is urging you to share. It brings accountability, but it also brings agreement. Husbands and wife, I would especially encourage you today as you go home, maybe in the car, maybe as you get home, you talk about it. Be in agreement. Maybe it's not financial. Maybe it's a relationship you need to sow into. Maybe God has shown you where the good ground is in people. Maybe you've neglected your marriage. God says it's time to go and cultivate the soil. Time to sow the right things into your marriage. Could be your children. Could be your retirement funds. Maybe it's sowing the word. Maybe you have been withholding and people don't know that you're a Christian on the job and God is saying, I need you to start speaking the word. Start sowing good seed. If you hate your work environment, maybe you need to sow a good seed into that environment. Cultivate the soil. Once again, let's commit these things to the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for speaking into our lives, God. We're so grateful, God. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name, we all agree, we say, amen. Amen. Lord. Well, hey, before we let you guys go, I want to make sure that your heart and life is right with Jesus. I want to make sure that if you died, that you wouldn't end up in hell, that you'd go to heaven. A lot of times people get confused about going to heaven. They think if they're just good enough, that they'll earn their way to heaven. You can't be good enough. You know what the Bible says? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You can't be good enough to earn your way into heaven. Sometimes you think, well, Pastor, I was raised in church. My parents told me we were Christians growing up. Born in America, America is a Christian nation. We're not any other religions. Do you know there's no default settings? It's not about your family association, your location. There's no default settings. Sometimes you think, well, Pastor, I didn't just sit in my last church. I got involved, helped out, sang in the choir, carried the pastor's Bible, made decisions. People thought of me as a leader. And here I am right now, sitting in church. Here I am watching online right now. Isn't that nowhere in the Bible say get involved in church? sit in a church service that makes you a Christian. God's not looking for your volunteer hours or a membership card to a church like some bank commercial saying what's in your wallet. And just because you sit in a church service, call yourself a Christian, doesn't make you a Christian. That's like going to McDonald's, calling yourself a hamburger, and that makes you a hamburger. Nah, it's the person sitting at McDonald's. Come on, we're talking about your eternal life. Listen up. Some of you might be thinking, but Pastor, I know God. I know about Jesus, know about Easter and the resurrection. Sing the songs of Christmas every year of my life. I could quote scriptures to you, Pastor, Old and New Testament. That's great. You'll find the devil quoting scriptures in the Gospels. He's not a Christian. He's not headed for heaven. The Bible says demons believe, and they tremble. Why? Because they know they're in. They're not going to make it. There's eternal torment waiting for them. The Bible says that they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, along with those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's make sure that's not you. Because there's only one way to heaven. Don't get it wrong. Don't get it twisted. Sometimes people think, well, all roads lead to heaven. No, that's what the world would say. It's not what God says. What does the Bible have to say about that? John, the third chapter, Jesus said, you must be born again if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven. See, we can't get there your way, my way, someone meaning church committee's way. Not all roads lead to heaven. It's only one way to heaven. That's God's way. And Jesus said it. You must be born again. Now, I know our society's raked that through the coals. Let's not let them define for it. What does being born again mean from the Bible? Well, from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, being born again has always meant the same thing. It simply means this. It means that you've surrendered to God all of your heart and that you've surrendered to God all of your life. It's just that simple. It's all or nothing but Jesus. Let me prove it to you. Last book of the Bible, book of Revelation, Jesus is speaking to a church, just like he's speaking to us here in this church today. Here, he's speaking to this church online right now. And he says, when I come, I want to find you hot or I want to find you cold, because if I find you warm, he says, I'll vomit from my mouth. Pretty gross, pretty graphic words in the mouth of Jesus, but what's he saying? He's saying half-hearted, lukewarm Christianity is not real Christianity at all. You need to give God all of your heart, and you need to give God all of your life. The Bible says if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. It's a simple surrender, a simple confession, saying I can't do this on my own. I can't be good enough, smart enough, nice enough, pretty enough. Can't do enough good deeds, attend enough church services, know enough scripture, or sing enough songs. But I know that God, through his son Jesus Christ on the cross, paid the penalty for my sins, and now I just receive the life of God and I surrender my life to him. Sometimes people think, well, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. Well, listen, it's not just one prayer, it's a life that's lived. God listens to the words of your mouth, then he watches your life to see if it follows. And if not, hey, we're not fooling God. Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved. That means you don't throw up a prayer, get fire insurance, and then live like the devil the rest of your life. That's not going to make it. You've got to give God all of your heart and all of your life continuously. The prayer is this starting point. But then the life that's lived shows what's gone on in your life already. Maybe today you're in this place, you're lukewarm. Maybe you're half-hearted. Maybe you're backslidden and you need to come home like the prodigal. Or maybe you've never started this journey with Jesus Christ. This might have been the first time you've been in church, or maybe you've heard the gospel message before and you've never responded. Could have been in church your whole life. But you need to give God all of your heart. You need to give God all of your life. In a moment, I'm going to count to three, just like this. One, two, three. When I say three, I'm going to pop my hand in this microphone. Bang. When you hear that sound of my hand popping the microphone, bang. That's your opportunity to simply just raise your hand. What you're doing by raising your hand is you're saying, I want to give God all my heart. I want to give God all my life. Be headed for heaven and deny hell. I'll see your hand go up. I'll count it. You can put it right back down. You might say, but Pastor, if I raise my hand, you point and count. I'll be embarrassed. Yeah, you might be. That's okay. Think of the trade-off. Isn't it better to be embarrassed for a moment than is to end up in hell forever? Listen, Jesus said this, if you confess me before a man. I'm a man. I'll see your hand go up if you're here alive. You can put it right back down. But he says, if you deny me, I will deny you. Your call, your choice. If you confess him before man, he'll confess you before his Father. But if you deny him, he will deny you. Don't be embarrassed. Come on, let's go for God. Everybody's rooting for you, by the way. No one's embarrassed of you. We've all done this one time or another, one way or another. Now it's your turn. You need to give God all of your heart. You need to give God all of your life. Who should raise your hand in a moment if you've been running from God and said it to God? I'm speaking to you. Who should raise your hand if you're not sure? Make sure today. Who should raise your hand? Maybe you've been in church all your life, but you never crossed that line, giving God all of your heart and life. I'm speaking to you. Or finally, who should raise your hand? Maybe you're lukewarm. Maybe you're half-hearted. Maybe you're backslidden. You need to come home like the prodigal. You can do that in this time, in this moment. I'm going to count to three. Pop my hand in this microphone. You know who you are. Get ready to get your hands up live and online. Here we go. One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Just raise them up high right now. There's one, two, three. Thank you. God bless you. Who else today? Four up on top. I got you in the back. God bless you. Five, way up in the back. I got you over there. Six right here. Yep. Got you guys. Seven up there. Yeah, thank you. Got you right up there. Thank you. God bless you. Seven over here. Eight right here. Yeah, thank you. God bless you. Who else today? There's eight wise people. Come on, I didn't embarrass them, and I won't embarrass you. Number nine, hey, fantastic. Best decision right there. Best decision. 10 up on top, yep, gotcha. Thank you. God bless you. I see you there. All right, 11 and 12. Hey, fantastic. That's great. Great choice. Bible says to choose life. Oh, hey, wonderful. Right there in the hallway. I got you. Got you. Thank you. God bless you. Number 13. Fantastic. That's a blessing. Who else? Number 14, number 15. You're sitting there wondering if you should do this. Yeah, you should. Come on, let's go for God today. I didn't embarrass them, and I won't embarrass you. If your heart's getting ready to beat out your chest, you broke out in a sweat, and you wish I'd end this and just shut up, hey, I think God's trying to talk to you right now. Come on, is there anybody else? Anybody else? Let's go for God today if that's you. Anybody else? Come on, you need to give God all of your heart. You need to give God all of your life. Anybody else? This is the last call. We're going to wrap this up. We're going to pray, like I said. Anybody else? Come on, let's go for God. I just want to just wait one more moment for you. If that's you, and you know you need to get right with God, you need to give God all of your heart, you need to give God all of your life. Come on. God's holding this whole thing up just for you. Anybody else? All right, well, let's give the Lord a hand for 13 wise people. Can we all stand together? I'm going to ask no one leave during this time. Let's be respectful of what the Holy Spirit's doing in this moment, drawing people to himself. Like I said, if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. I want to lead you in that simple confession right here at the altar. So if you raise your hand, your children raise your hand, I want you to get out of your seat, get in the aisle, and meet me up front. Even if you didn't raise your hand, but you should have. Come on, number 14. Come on, number 15. Just get out of your seat, get in the aisle, and meet me up front right now. Come on down. Come on down. Come on, they're coming. Let's give them a hand. You can come too. For the family rooms, for the foyer. Come on, for the aisleway. Come on down right now. Let's pray together. Come on, they're coming. Let's give them a hand. Come to the altar. Anybody else, if you need to come, just come on down right now. Come on, this is your time. This is your moment of salvation. Come on down. They're still coming. The precious blood of Jesus Christ, come to me. Anybody else, come on, just make your way to the front right now. We'll wait for you. Come on, if you raise your hand, if it's worth doing this, it's worth coming down. It's worth participating. Come on. Come on, take that first step. The rest will be easy. They're coming. They're coming. Church family, nudge your neighbors. Say, come on, friend, if you need to go, I'll go with you. Then bring them. Come on, be that full-time minister. Nudge somebody. Say, come on. If you need to go, I'll go. They're still coming. Anybody else? Come on. Come on, we'll wait for you. Come on down right now. Take that first step. Man, I'm so proud of you guys. Love you guys so much. I'm so grateful for you. God's doing a work in your heart right now, making you brand new. The past, from this moment on, is the past. It's gone, right? The tree falls to the north or south, let it lay. That's where it's going to be, right? It's already happened. It's done. But guess what? You've got a new life. God's getting ready to do something amazing on the inside of you. Get a brand new start with a brand new heart. Get a clean slate. I want to encourage you over this next year to plug in, to plant. Right, we talk about sowing seed, invest. Not money, not talking about that investment. Talk about your time. Talk about coming to church weekly, right? Not just once, two times. And we got all kinds of 8 services a week here at The Rock. We're working hard for you. Come as many times as you can. 3 times, 4, I don't know. However much you can, get back to church. Next opportunity is 1:30 in Spanish. Tonight, 6 p.m. Come on back. Wednesday night at 7. Women's ministries, men's ministries, youth ministries, young adults ministries, all kinds of stuff for you to grow. Read your Bible. Get a scripture every day. Let God speak to you from it. Pray. What does that mean? Just talk to God, just like I'm talking to you right now. Yeah, you wake up in the morning. Good morning, God. Thanks for a new day. God, would you help me today? Simple prayers like that. You don't have to know the these and the thous. Come on, don't try and church it up. Just make it simple with God. He already knows your hearts, and so you can talk to him openly. God loves you so much. He'll meet you where you're at. Those thoughts in mind, I want to encourage you. As we pray this prayer, God's going to make you brand new. Everybody's going to join in together with you. Even online, if you're giving your heart to the Lord, you can pray this prayer with us. Everybody, let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and I want you to just repeat this prayer right after me. Say, Father God, I come to you today in the mighty name of Jesus to give you all my heart and all my life. Please come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me my sin. Cleanse me my past. And give me a future with you. For I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son, that he came and died, was raised again to life just for me. Thank you, Jesus. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit, and let it be known that from this day on, I am saved. I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I'm following you for the rest of my days into eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, guys, welcome to the family. We're excited for you. Now, listen. I gave my heart to the Lord at age 15. It was the best decision I ever made. God changed me from the inside out. Now, listen, I was raised in church, all right? And so I knew some things about the Bible, but I still needed something. Needed a friend, someone to encourage me, answer questions, help me along the way, okay? And so we want to give you that same opportunity. This is my friend, Pastor Joel, waving at you. Real good guy. Nothing weird is going to go on. He wants to give you some free information, free literature, find out what just happened, what to do next in your walk with God. Wants to introduce you to a friend we have here, okay? We call them faith-filled friends, all right? Just people who will encourage you in your walk with God, answer any questions you have, meet with you before church, that sort of thing. It's easy, it's free, and then after a couple minutes of your time, he'll let you go. If your children are in the children's ministry, they're safe, okay? They'll wait for you. You can go get them right afterwards. A couple minutes of your time, just make a left turn. Follow Pastor Joel right this way. Your friends and family will wait for you. Come on, let's give them a hand as they go. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Hey, Matt and Kathy, are you guys praying today? All right, these are my friends. I called out Matt earlier with the first timers. You guys see Matt. Matt and Kathy are wonderful men and women of God. And we talked about prayer for the Holy Spirit. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's a power that comes on you when that takes place. It's interesting how Jesus, when he resurrected, he came to the disciples and he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. But then in the Gospel of Luke, you find that he says, hey, I want you guys to wait in Jerusalem until the promise from the Father comes upon you. And even though Jesus had already breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit on the inside, they needed the power of God to submerge them on the outside and be visible in their lives. We know in Acts chapter 2, he came upon them with power. They went out there and they witnessed, and thousands of people gave their hearts to the Lord that day. You need that same kind of power. You need that same kind of witness in your life. And so Matt and Kathy want to just do a quick teaching and then just pray a simple prayer, and you can receive that same power that the apostles received on the day of Pentecost there in the Bible in Acts chapter number 2. So they're going to be right over here by this pillar. They'll be waiting for you guys. So after we dismiss, you can just make your way up front, wait for everybody else, all the crowd to go that way, and you can come on up, head up the stairs to the chapel, and they will pray for you. Get the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Once again, I want to remind you tonight, 6 p.m., we're back here. Different music, different message, another opportunity to grow in the things of God. Let me bless you as you go, even online. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord right now. This is your time to receive a blessing from God. Father, these are your people called by your name. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming, blessed going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. Lord, not with a little whisper, with a great big shout of faith, we declare that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.